The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, that was a doozy of a Thursday night football game last night. As a matter of fact, I was scared that we were ending in another tie, to be quite honest, because shit, man, we went into overtime and the Rams got into field goal range. And I was like, and they had to go for it on four, or it was either go for it on fourth and one or kick the field goal. And they decided to go for it on fourth and one. And I was so thankful. I didn't care how that fourth and one went as long as I did not have to see another goddamn motherfucking tie. And you know, there was a point during that the Cowboys rant I was going on when the Cowboys tied the game. I forgot to add into my rant about something that's pissed me off over the years. And it's the stupid overtime rules, okay? This is why we got a tie in the last motherfucking game against the Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. Because in overtime, now everybody gets a chance to score the ball. And I fucking hated you stupid retards bitching and complaining about fairness all the fucking time. Well, guess what, retards? You got your goddamn fairness, and now all we get is almost fucking ties. Just fucking sudden death overtime was the best overtime, in my opinion, because you just ended it. Overtime is extra time. And if you go into extra time, in my opinion, it's not part of the regular game. So if you fail in the fourth quarters, first four quarters of the actual regular game, if you can't stop them and you fail to stop them in overtime and they score on you, too goddamn bad is my opinion. But I know that opinion's lost because all of y'all in your fairness, oh, life's not fair. Yeah, life isn't fucking fair. You should all know that by now, stupid, but we got fairness and now we get a bunch of fucking stupid fucking ties in overtime. But thankfully, last night did not end in a tie because thankfully Sean McVay decided to go for it on fourth and one. And unfortunately, it did not work out for the Rams. As a matter of fact, the San Francisco 49ers defense stepped it up last night. They had some really key turnovers at the goal line. And they just were really all over the place. And it was really kind of funny because before the game started, I mean, pretty much their entire team has been decimated by injuries. And pretty much all of us, myself included, thought that the Rams were just going to roll over the Niners. And no, that was not how it was. Basically, from the jump, the Niners owned this game. The Rams were lucky it went into overtime because they keep having these blocked kicks as well. I think there's something, I don't know if it's the kicker's fault or if it's the offensive line that's blocking him or what it is, technique or something, but they keep having a lot of blocked kicks and it is not helping them out at all. I mean, they had a couple last night and I kind of feel like the reason why towards the end of the game they really started going away from kicking is because of the kicking woes they've had in basically every game this year. I think they've had a blocked kick every single game this year so far. But give it up to the Niners, man, for not rolling over. They got the win 26-23 in overtime. And like I said, all of us, myself included, thought they were getting their asses beat last night. And they came right out there. And it just goes to show that injuries, while they suck, you could still overcome them if you're a good enough team. And the Niners have done that so far all season. So let's get into the rest of week five. And also my head-to-head matchup with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba. I have now officially overtaken the lead, whoop, whoop, by two games. Because last week I went 10-5-1 to bring my season total up to 42-21-1. And Simon went 6-9-1 to bring his total up to 40-23-1. Now, for the rest of the season, that I'm not including that stupid tie at the end. I just did it for this week. But when I go over the rest of our season, I won't be bringing that up again unless we have another tie, which, you know, could always happen because thank God for fairness and overtime. But anyways, let's get to the rest of week five and see what we've got going on here. First of all, This is the first week that we're going to have bye weeks. So this week, the Atlanta Falcons, the Chicago Bears, the Green Bay Packers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers will all be on a bye week this week. So they will not be playing at all. But one thing we will be doing is having us another international game. So we have us a game starting at 9:30 a.m. Eastern this week. So the Minnesota Vikings versus the Cleveland Browns will be in London. And it sucks for London because they're probably going to see an ass-kicking by the Vikings. Right now, the Vikings are a 3.5-point favorite in this one. Cleveland has just been straight-up garbage. I mean, that's really what I've expected of them. I mean, they don't have anything going on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, they always look good because they've got Myles Garrett, but I mean, that can only get you so far. And I kind of feel like the Vikings, they're coming off of a tough loss last week. I feel like they're going to bounce back this week, and Cleveland's always a good get-right team for you. I feel like Minnesota's defense is going to get right. I feel like their offense is going to get right, and I feel like they're just going to put together a really solid game this week. I've got Minnesota rolling over the Cleveland Browns 35-13. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention in my head-to-head matchups with Simon, we both had the Rams last night, so we start the weekend off 0-1, and I do not have Simon's picks for this week just yet, so I won't be giving you his picks for this week yet. Then heading into the rest of week five, we will have the Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite, and they still have been very, very, very quiet about this Lamar Jackson hamstring injury. Very odd. They haven't really announced if he's playing, if he's missing time, what the issue was. So once again, very shady stuff around it. That's kind of why even more, I believe he quit and gave up on his team, and they're just trying to cover that aspect of it up for him. And the Houston Texans, though, they're coming off of a pretty solid win last week. They really needed that win. But unfortunately for them, even though the Baltimore Ravens defense isn't playing up to the level we've seen them play at, I feel like they're going to bounce back this week, regardless of who plays for them at quarterback, because if Lamar Jackson doesn't play, it's going to be Cooper Rush at quarterback. But I just kind of feel like Texans offensively have a lot of questions. Their offensive line is probably one of the worst in the league, at least from what I can see so far this season. And so I won't be shocked if Baltimore just has a day on the defensive side of the ball simply because of that. And they're at home, and like I said, they're coming off of that rough loss last week. So I've got the Ravens winning this week 27-21. Then we have the Miami Dolphins at the Carolina Panthers. Right now the Panthers are 1.5-point favorite. I don't really, like, Miami is just meh. Carolina is what I expected them to be. I felt like they were going to struggle in some games, but they were going to show out in certain games. And I kind of feel like this is a game where they're going to show out because they're playing a team that's not very good. So they're both about the same level of team. I think the Panthers are a better team than Miami, but I do expect it to be kind of a battle in this one. I wouldn't actually be shocked if this is a defensive battle, as a matter of fact, because Miami really put up a really solid game last week defensively. So I wouldn't be shocked if we actually have a couple of turnovers, maybe even a pick six for a touchdown or something of that nature. But I do think it's going to be a close one. But I'm leaning towards Carolina in this one, mostly because they're at home and, you know, I don't really trust the Dolphins that much. So I've got the Carolina Panthers winning this one 21-17. Then we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Colts are a 6.5-point favorite. The Colts, they're coming off of that loss last week, their first loss of the season. It wasn't an ass-kicking or anything. They were still in it the whole way. Whereas the Raiders are just not looking like a good team at all. JT did finally break out and have his first good game as a Las Vegas Raider. But for the most part, Geno Smith is just throwing interceptions like no other this season. And I kind of feel like this week it's probably going to be the same thing because the Indianapolis Colts have a very sneaky good defense. And I feel like that's what's going to happen here is their defense is going to sneak up on them, probably cause a couple of turnovers, some issues for them, and that's going to be a downfall for them. But then I just feel like the Colts, they're going to ride Jonathan Taylor for the day, and he's probably going to have a pretty solid day on the ground. And I feel like they're just going to take a bunch of time on the clock, really just dominate time of possession. And I've got the Colts winning this one 24-16. Then we have the New York Giants at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Saints are a 1.5-point favorite. I don't know how the Saints are ever favored in a game because the Saints are such an atrocious team this year. I mean, they are straight fucking garbage. They're just bad. There's no other word to describe this team, and I can't believe they're favored over the Giants, and I don't think the Giants are a good team. But the Giants have showed a lot more spark than the New Orleans Saints have so far. I mean, the Saints, yes, played the Bills close last week, but I kind of feel like it was one of those games where the Bills mostly overlooked the Saints and weren't really expecting that type of play from the Saints, but they still kicked their ass in the end. But in this game, I think the Giants are the better team. I think the Giants defensively are a really solid team. The Giants are another sneaky good defense where a lot of people are not talking about them because they're not really a good team. But defensively, they are a good team. Offensively, they still have a lot of questions. I think the loss of Malik Nabers is definitely going to hurt them in the end. But with that being said, I think they're a better team than the Saints. The Saints are trash. I feel like the Saints are going to be lucky if they get a win at all this season. And I've got the Giants winning a close one, 23-14. Then we have the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Jets. Right now, the Cowboys are a 2.5-point favorite. The Jets have not looked good at all this season on offense, on defense. They just are garbage. Cowboys, though, have actually showed some spark, especially on the offensive side of the ball. It's the defense that's the issue. But lucky for them, they're not really playing a good offensive team this week, and I don't think it matters anyways. The Cowboys offensively have been on fire. They really have had zero issues scoring points this season at all, especially Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is on some, and I feel like this is going to be a big game for him and the offense. I think this is going to be a Dallas Cowboys offensive heavy game, and I think they're just going to blow the Jets out of the water 35-17. Then we have the Denver Broncos at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are a 4.5-point favorite. I do think this is going to be a close game. I think the Denver Broncos defense is really going to hold Philadelphia's offense in check because Denver has another – they also have a very sneaky good defense. They are really they get at the quarterback. They're really good at stopping the run as well. So I really like what I'm seeing from this Denver defense. It's just their offense is a little bit loosey-goosey. They know how to score points, but it's just sometimes they just do these dumb things, and you're like, what the hell did you just do there? And this Eagles team, even though they're not blowing anybody out of the water, so what? They weren't blowing anybody out of the water last year, and they still won the Super Bowl. So until the Eagles show they can't lose, or until the Eagles show me that they're going to lose a game, I don't think it's going to be against the Denver Broncos. I feel like this is going to be another game where it's close for the Eagles. They kind of just bore you to death. But they're still able to get the win and still able to, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Denver actually has the lead the whole way. And then all of a sudden, Philadelphia makes another furious comeback in the second half. And then all of a sudden, we see them walk off with a field goal to win the game or something of that nature. But regardless, I'm taking the stupid ass Eagles 20-17. Then our afternoon games, we have the Tennessee Titans at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Cardinals are an 8.5-point favorite. The Titans are another trash bag team like the Saints. It's almost like, who is worse? The Titans or the Saints? I give the edge to the Saints simply because the Titans at least have a quarterback. Cam Ward is a number one overall pick for a reason. The New Orleans Saints literally have nobody McGraw at quarterback. Yes, I know it's Spencer Rattler and some other rookie dude, but they have a much worse situation at the quarterback position, in my opinion. So I'm going with the Saints are just a smidgen worse than the Titans, but the Titans are garbage. Cardinals not having a good season so far themselves. The injuries are piling up for them as well, especially at the running back position. They already lost James Conner a couple of weeks ago, and then they lost their backup running back, who's going to be out, I think, for 6 weeks. So it's not looking good for them on the ground. But with that being said, they're going up against a terrible-ass Titans team. So I think the Arizona Cardinals have enough to get past this Titans team. I've got the Cardinals winning 24-10. Then we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 3.5-point favorite. Tampa Bay is kind of trying to overcome some injuries as well. They've got some injuries at the running back position. I can't recall which running back of theirs is going to be out this week, but one of their running backs is going to be out. Baker Mayfield's coming in a little bit bruised, but I expect that dude to come out and do what he always does. But thankfully, they've got Chris Godwin back in the mix. And really, to me, Seattle is I don't really think they're that good of a team. I think the wins that they've got have been more surprising than anything. And I just think Tampa Bay is actually a legit team. I think Tampa Bay's defense is good, but most certainly their offense is good. And I just kind of feel like Tampa Bay's coming off of a tough loss last week, and I feel like they're going to get rolling again in this one, and I've got Tampa winning this one 31-20. Then we have the Detroit Lions at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Lions are a 10.5-point favorite, and that sounds about right because the Bengals are terrible. They have nothing going on offensively since Joe Burrow went out with his injury at the quarterback position, and it's just been straight-up frustration. I mean, the wide receivers have just been struggling to even get the ball because Browning just can't get them the ball. And they keep saying they're sticking with him at the quarterback position, but there are some guys out there who might be on the trade market who they might be looking at, and they might want to take a look at it. I mean, it's only week 5. So I'm kind of thinking you might want to make a trade so you can at least hopefully save your season, because they get too far behind, shit's going to get raw. And this week, I think shit's going to get raw for them because Detroit's coming in hot. Detroit's coming in scoring a lot of points, and I expect Detroit to continue to score a lot of points. I expect Detroit to do what Detroit do, and that is walk in, kick ass, and leave and go back to Detroit. I've got Detroit winning 40-13. Then we have the Washington Commanders at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Chargers are a 2.5-point favorite. Looks like we're getting Daniels back at quarterback for Washington, so that's definitely the spark that they're going to need on the offensive side of the ball. The Chargers have had their issues with their offensive line over the last couple of games, so we'll see what happens in this one, because Washington doesn't have a great defense, but they definitely can get at the quarterback, and if that's what happens in this one, Justin Herbert's going to be having some issues. But I think the Chargers are going to bounce back from last week's loss. I think they're definitely going to step it up on the offensive side of the ball. I feel like Justin Herbert's going to step it up. I feel like their defense is going to step it up as well. And I feel like their defense is going to be the reason why they win this game. I feel like they might have a last minute kind of like stand on the goal line or potentially, you know, an interception or a fumble that sets them up in good field position for to ride off to the sunset with a win. So I've got the Chargers winning this one 24-17. And then our Sunday night football matchup is the New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. Right now the Bills are a 7.5-point favorite. New England, not a very good team. Buffalo, one of the best teams in the league. And even though this is a division matchup, I don't think New England's got any way to keep up with what the Buffalo Bills got going on. Buffalo Bills look great on the offensive side of the ball, look great on the defensive side of the ball, and really don't have a lot of weaknesses. And I just kind of feel like this is going to be a very, very long day for the New England Patriots. I have the Buffalo Bills rolling in this one 30-17. All right, and we also have the divisional series all locked in. They begin on Saturday, so we have us a full slate of just football and baseball, and then, like I said, we even have basketball preseason kicking off this weekend, so we've got a lot going on. So let's talk about the National League Divisional Round Series and the American League Divisional Round Series matchups here. Beginning with the NLDS, let's start with the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, this should be an excellent matchup. These are easily the two most talented teams in the league. They have the two deepest starting pitching rotations. They have a shit ton of talent in their batting lineup. I mean, it's basically pick your poison. I mean, Philadelphia has the likes of Kyle Schwarber, who's having another monster season behind the plate. And then the Dodgers have Ohtani, who's also having a monster season behind the plate. And then you just have all these great role players like a Trey Turner with the Phillies, and then a Mookie Betts with the Dodgers. And then you look at the pitchers, and they just have so much talent all around that it just kind of feels like this series is going to be pushed to the brink in every single game. I wouldn't be shocked if literally every game comes down to the ninth inning or even further out, because these teams are built for the NLDS. Now, the Dodgers have been less consistent than the Phillies, but with that being said, man, the Dodgers just took it to the Reds, but the Reds, not a very good team. The Phillies have been on fire the second half of this season. They have really not let up. Their injuries have piled up. They've had so many injuries to key players. Not that the Dodgers haven't, because the Dodgers had themselves. But the Philadelphia Phillies have actually been able to overcome it better than the Dodgers, because the Phillies really haven't had any lulls this season where they've had a major losing streak. They've pretty much been very, very consistent all season long, even though they've lost really key guys at the starting position, starting pitcher position, and also dudes in their batting lineup. I mean, Trey Turner's missed, he's had a couple of stints on the injured list this year. So, and he's a huge, huge part of their offense, but yet here they are still able to overcome it. Now, with that being said, I think the Phillies are a more consistent team. I think they're, it's hard to say who's the better team in this matchup because they both have so much talent, but I'm just leaning towards the Phillies in this one, mostly because I do think they're the better team, but also, hey, I picked the Phillies at the beginning of the season to win it all. You think I'm picking against them now? No. So I've got the Phillies winning this series in 5 games. Then our second matchup in the NLDS, we have the Chicago Cubs versus the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, the Milwaukee Brewers, number one overall seed this season. They really took off at the second half, right after the All-Star break. I mean, this team just went hot. And then it looked like they were still hot. But these last 2 weeks of the season, not as dominating for them. And that's not what you want to do heading into the playoffs. Cubs, on the other hand, probably one of the most offensive teams we've had all season long. The only time they fell off offensively was about the last month of baseball. But for the most part, they were leading the league in runs from basically start all the way till about August. And even so, they still were able to score a bunch of runs. It's just they're another team where the injuries have been piling up, especially at the starting pitcher position. But man, Tyone, he pitched a gem yesterday to get them here to the NLDS. So I'm kind of looking at this Cubs team as a very sneaky team that I don't think you want to play because they really know how to get at you. And the Brewers, like I said, while they are the number one overall seed, and they did have a really solid year, they are not coming into the playoffs as hot. Now, I do think this is going to be a good series. I think they match up very well against each other. Starting pitching-wise, they match up very well with each other. Their bullpens, both pretty solid with their bullpens. And then with the offense, neither one of them really have any issues scoring on the offensive side of the ball. So I think this is going to be a very slim margin of error for both teams. I think this is going to be another great matchup, just like the previous one. But I've got the Cubs winning this one, and I've got them winning in 5, simply because I think they've played more consistent than the Brewers. And the Brewers just kind of came into the playoffs on shaky grounds, where the Cubs came in, I feel like a lot hotter and more of a team with an identity, whereas the Brewers just, they kind of came in shaky. So I've got the Cubs winning this matchup in 5 games. Then our first ALDS matchup we have is the Detroit Tigers versus the Seattle Mariners. Now, the Detroit Tigers finally showed some life in this last matchup in the wild card round versus the Guardians, and they needed to, because heading into the playoffs, man, the Tigers had one of the most epic collapses you will ever see. They dominated not only their division, but baseball, all the way leading up to the last month of baseball, and they just cratered. And they were honestly lucky to even make the wild card, but they actually showed some life. All 3 games, they really played very well. Skubal is phenomenal. He pitched such a beautiful gem, and I expect him to come out and really pitch another gem in whatever game he shows up in this one. But I just feel like the Tigers finally showed some life, and they finally looked like the Tigers they've looked like all season, and that is bad news for the Mariners, because the Mariners are coming in real hot. They look solid at the starting pitcher position. As a matter of fact, one of the best starting pitching lineups is this Seattle Mariners team. Nobody's really talking about them, but that starting pitching lineup, they really carried this team. They were just phenomenal. But unfortunately for them, they're coming up against the Tigers, who looked really solid against the Guardians. And they, like I said, they looked like the Tigers they've been all season long. Great at the pitching position and able to just bust it open when they need to bust it open. And the Mariners, while they've been hot, the Mariners are, you can never trust the Mariners when it comes to playoff baseball. And until I could trust the Mariners when it comes to playoff baseball, I cannot pick the Mariners. And actually, the Detroit Tigers were also my other World Series pick to begin the season. My World Series pick to begin the season was with the Detroit Tigers versus the Philadelphia Phillies, with the Phillies winning it all. So even though I did not pick Detroit, with my picks on last week's show or earlier in the week when I was doing my playoff predictions. Even though I didn't pick them, I am going to pick them in this series because they finally looked like the Tigers. They finally, I thought they were just going to keep choking like they did against the Guardians earlier in the season. But no, they showed up, they looked legit, and I think they're getting legit. So now I'm back on the Tigers bandwagon, especially after what I saw from them. I think the Tigers are going to get right in this one, and I think they're going to beat the Mariners in four games. Then the last ALDS matchup we have is the New York Yankees versus the Toronto Blue Jays, and another big battle for the Yankees because they just got taken to the mat with the Boston Red Sox in the wild card round, which was just another epic battle, and I think this is going to be basically the same thing. I do think the Yankees have the edge, though. Offensively, this team is extremely confident right now. Pitching, Fried and Rodon, and now Schlittler. Cam Schlittler is a rookie and pitched a gem last night. I think he had 12, 11 strikeouts, whatever. He had over 10 strikeouts, and he's a rookie. He obliterated the Red Sox last night. It was nuts to see this guy just wheeling and dealing all night long. So now the Yankees have another starting pitcher who they can rely on in the playoffs. Whereas the Blue Jays, they have yet, they're kind of like the Mariners to me. Until they prove that they can do it in the postseason, I can't believe in them. And like I said, the Yankees, they've been a lot more consistent this season. And especially offensively, they have zero confidence issues in scoring runs. It's really, like I said, their defense is the issue. Toronto, very solid offensively, but I think their shakiness is going to come with their pitchers. While they've had a pretty good year with their starting pitching lineup, I just won't be surprised if one or a couple of their starting pitchers kind of have shitty games and get blown up, and then it just goes from there. So I actually have the Yankees winning this series in four games, just because I think the Yankees are the better team and they are much more confident offensively. And like I said, until Toronto proves it to me in the playoffs, I can't pick Toronto. So I'm going with the Yankees in this matchup. So like I said, we've got the NLDS and the ALDS beginning on Saturday. So it's all day baseball Saturday, all day college football Saturday, all day pro football on Sunday. And it's just great, because then, like I said, we also get preseason NBA basketball as well. So we are just getting locked and loaded on sports, and I am loving it. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.